What a freeze in oil production could mean for prices. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. Four major oil producers, including the biggest, Russia and Saudi Arabia, have agreed to freeze oil output at January levels. The BBC's Philip Hampshire has been following this story. Good to talk with you, Philip.
Hello, Amy.
So what exactly does this agreement mean?
The oil markets can now look on at the fact that the oil-producing countries have taken note of the low price. The low oil price had several different components to it. Number one, it removed some of the higher-cost producers from around the world. But it also hurts IS, or Islamic State. A lot of the money they've been using to fight their wars around the Middle East has been coming from captured oil wells. It has also inflicted some pain on Iran, which is trying to come in from its isolation because they're heavily reliant on oil too.
But I understand this is not quite a done deal. The agreement reportedly depends on some other major producers joining in.
Well, you have got Iran coming into the international marketplace. There are other countries out in the Middle East too that are desperate for higher revenue sources. So yes, there are small question marks out there, but these are far and away the biggest producers in the world. Saudi Arabia long held as the largest producer in the world. Russia, actually now a bigger producer than Saudi Arabia. And Venezuela, one of the countries most desperately in need of additional cash in order to shore up its government budget.
All right. Philip Hampshire with the BBC. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Oil prices are up on the news. And staying with Russia now, the Kremlin says it's planning to raise more than $12 billion by selling off state-owned assets, from banks to mining and oil companies. Russia could use the money. The collapse in oil prices over the past year and a half has left a big hole in that government's budget. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more.
As many as seven major corporations could be up for sale. The airline Aeroflot, the oil giant Rosneft, and Russian Railways among them. Given the big fall in the price of oil, says Alexander Branis of London-based asset manager Prosperity Capital, selling off state assets makes sense.
They want to plug the hole in government finances, which any government would do, and it's the right course to take.
But Brenda Kelly of the London Capital Group says these proposed sales look panicky.
Privatisation of some of these companies tends to smack of desperation. It does, I suppose, in some respects, look a little bit like a fire sale.
A chance for foreign investors to snap up some prime Russian property at a knockdown price. But how safe would the investment be? This is Putin's Russia, after all, not a place that's renowned for upholding the rule of law. Lawyer and Kremlin watcher Jameson Firestone.
Like in the Soviet Union, there is no such thing as private property in Russia. You own stuff while they allow you to own it.
Firestone fled Moscow after his colleague Sergei Magnitsky died in custody after making allegations of high-level theft and corruption. But in spite of a string of Russian corporate scandals, fund manager Alexander Branis says he might be interested in new asset sales.
I believe that corporate governance of Russian state-controlled companies has improved tremendously. And, Russia is basically too big to ignore, and we're still very happy to be investing in this market.
But some London-based analysts doubt there will be a major sell-off anyway. Nick Redman of the International Institute for Strategic Studies.
I would be surprised if there was a large-scale disposal of assets. You might see one or two.
And he says even then, only minority stakes will be for sale. Putin has spent too much effort tightening his grip on the state in order to give up any part of it. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FT 100 index in London is up about 0.25%. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.75%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up. Investors have been picking apart any sign from Fed Chair Janet Yellen of where the economy and interest rates might be headed. Here's Yellen last Wednesday testifying before the House Financial Services Committee.
The committee is closely monitoring global economic and financial developments, as well as assessing their implications for the labor market and inflation and the balance of risk to the outlook.
We get another chance to try to look into the Fed's crystal ball this week with the release of the minutes from the Federal Open Market Committee's meeting last month. As a reminder, that's when the committee decided not to raise interest rates again after having done so in December for the first time since the recession. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
With global markets in turmoil, the dollar strong and oil prices weak, everyone's trying to figure out how the Fed plans to keep the U.S. recovery going, says Dan Heckman at U.S. Bank in Kansas City.
It's very critical at this juncture to read the tea leaves, monitor the minutes.
In December, the Fed decided the economy was healthy enough to handle higher interest rates. Now, says Heckman, the Fed governors aren't so sure.
What really has the Fed kind of backed up against the wall here? They would like to continue to normalize rates, but as they do, they may continue to create volatility.
Economist Tim Dewey at the University of Oregon says the oil price collapse surprised the Fed, but also gave it some breathing room.
A longer path returning to target inflation and a reason to delay the next rate hike.
If the Fed waits too long to try to raise rates back to normal, it might not be ready for the next recession whenever it comes along. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And the company behind all those blue home security signs could have a new owner. News reports say the private equity firm Apollo Global Management is near a deal to buy security firm ADT. A little peace of mind is big business. The deal could value the company at $10 billion. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Zhang. Our engineer this week is Charlton Thorpe. I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.